Welcome to Tuned In, KWBG's News and Public Affairs program. And now here's your host, News Director Jim Turbis. And a good morning today on our Tuned In program, visiting with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. He's in Washington on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Glad to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm liking the sunshine and things like that we're getting, and it's Ag Day today, Agriculture Day in the country, and I know that's...
So when you see a family farmer, tell them thank you.
You tell them thanks for everything they do. I was going to talk to you a little bit about that. I know you were on AgriTalk this week with Mike Adams, and they asked you about the GMO labeling or the labeling bill and legislation that's going on. For the listeners that might have missed that, you want to kind of recap a little bit about what's happening there?
Yeah. Congress has the power to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. So when different states have labeling requirements that make it difficult for national companies, right now there's only one state has labeling, Vermont. But let's say 50 states did. You can imagine the difficulty it would have for 50 different, or for these food processors to meet the labeling requirements of 50 different states. So the idea is to have one standard. And that's the bill that we're dealing with. We'll be up for a vote probably tonight or tomorrow. We have to have 60 votes to move it along. I hope we do. Most of the time we have a vote like this, you're certain you've got the number of votes you need. But this is something that the Vermont law going into effect by July the 1st, Congress has to take action. So Senator Roberts, the chairman of the Agriculture Committee, brought the bill forward, even though he's not sure that he's got 60 votes, with the idea that common sense will prevail and say you can't have states having different labeling requirements.
That's one of those things. It started out, it did seem to be not too controversial or anything, but boy, it has really kind of taken off and escalated here.
Yeah, there's some people just don't like genetically modified anything.
Yeah.
And that's the GMO. But I tell people, I've been eating that food for 25 years. I'm a laboratory for the safety of it. So just take me as an example that you don't have anything to fear. Besides, we have three government agencies that over the last 20 years have certified the safety of GMOs. But some people just don't like it. And I don't want to say why they don't like it because I haven't talked to them, but I think it's an ideological thing with some of them.
Well, again, we know that the vote is going to be held this week, so we'll see what happens with that. I did have a listener actually sent me a question. They wanted you to do some comments about term limits for Congress. And, we do have the term limits for the presidents, but what can be done? I know it comes up every once in a while, but has it kind of gone to the back burner? Can it be brought back? Because it is something that some people are a little concerned about.
Yeah. It's only come up once for a vote in the 35 years I've been in the United States Senate, and I voted for the term limit bill that was up. It's a constitutional amendment. You have to amend the Constitution, so you have to get a two-thirds vote. And it fell short of the two-thirds vote, but I did vote for it. And I think it came up because there was a big grassroots movement to have term limits. And I think it would take another grassroots movement to make it come up for a vote again. I don't see it coming up from within Washington, D.C., or within the Congress of the United States.
So for listeners that had wondered about that, it requires the constitutional amendment. So probably a big grassroots effort once again, try to then go forward with that. I did take a look at your schedule for the Judiciary Committee. Could you squeeze any more meetings in here? This is you're pretty busy, and that doesn't even include anything that's got to do with the Supreme Court appointment thing.
No.
So a little bit about what's going on in Judiciary, some of the other things, because do have a lot of bills that are coming up this week.
Just doing my job. I think some people want to think that the only thing that we're doing here in Washington is fighting over some Supreme Court nominee. But it's an important issue, yes, but it's just one of, I wouldn't want to quantify 100 things we have to deal with. Want to say I'm dealing with 100 things, but if you look at my schedule, just in the Judiciary Committee, that doesn't say anything about the Finance Committee, the Agriculture Committee, and the Budget Committee that I serve on.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have, on a 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you can actually have you can actually have all of those committee meetings scheduled at the same time.
So,
and then you were asking about other things that are coming up.
You've got a couple of pretty big things on the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, we've got the Kevin and Aventis law that deals with putting trackers on people that have autism, like we have had a bill for a long period of time on Alzheimer's. Then we have the Adam Walsh bill, reauthorization, which deals with tracking of kids that have been kidnapped. And then we have the FBI whistleblower reform bill.
Yeah, so you got a lot of pretty important bills and legislation that you're working on and keep moving forward. Did want to ask you, because I know yesterday you spoke on the floor, you talked about immigration and the issues on immigration. Again, something else you've been dealing with in judiciary too.
In your part of the state, there was a Western Iowa girl.
Yeah.
The same day that she got her degree from Bellevue University, I think it's Bellevue.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was killed by a undocumented worker. Who was drunk driving three times the limit that a person can drive legally. And the shame of it is that the Omaha police asked the immigration folks to take over this person, and they did take it over, but then they turned him loose. And so you've got somebody with a criminal record of vehicular homicide, either in the United States or his home country of Honduras. And it's just ridiculous that immigration won't take custody of these people who have committed a felony. Mm-hmm. And it brings up the bigger issue of quote-unquote priorities within the immigration service, of which ones that they're going to hold or aren't going to hold. And quoting Mr. Root, the father of Sarah, he said that this person had a $50,000 bond, but he only had to post $5,000, 10% of it, and he's free now. And where he is, nobody knows. He could be committing other felonies. But the bottom line of it is, quoting the father, the $5,000 that he was able to get out of jail free was less than the funeral for the daughter.
It's one of those we see it. You know, when local officials want to work with ICE to do something like that, it doesn't seem to work. We're not working on the same page, it seems like, with some of the ICE and local law enforcement.
Yeah. The only thing that we're on the same page on is legal immigration. The United States is one of the most liberal of countries in the world of legal immigration. And that would be about 800,000 to 1 million people come here every year. We welcome immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. We ought to celebrate diversity and attributes that people from different countries bring to our society. But we also want people that come here to obey our laws. And coming here with documents is number one requirement. Just like we couldn't go to other countries without documents. And I don't know why people feel they can come here without documents. But it's a case of rule of law. We're a country based upon the rule of law, and you disregard one law for anything, and it encourages further disregard for law. But we do want immigrants. In fact, we need immigrants.
I know that some of the farm areas and some of those sectors there, yeah, we do need to continue to have people coming in.
Yeah, there's three areas where we could get legal immigration laws passed if the administration would do it, but they always want to pass what's called a comprehensive immigration law, which makes it very difficult to get something passed. But for unskilled workers, for H-1Bs, which would be like engineers, and for agricultural workers, we could pass those bills very fast.
Yeah, because there is a pretty good agreement on those particulars.
And yeah.
Concentrate. I did want to ask, in the Finance Committee, I know yesterday you did release some comments and statements. You guys are taking a look on finance at some drug pricing, and I know also later this week you're going to take a look, a little oversight at healthcare.gov. So also, again, a very busy committee. You've got a lot of different things that are going on. The drug pricing issues, again, we've seen a couple of different things that have happened on the private side, again, with the jacking up of the prices and stuff. What are your concerns there?
Well, one drug that we investigated for a year, Sovaldi, costs $1,000 a pill, dealing with hepatitis C. It really does work. It cures people, which then would in turn save a lot of money on hospitalization. But it's just kind of how they handle it, you know. We got a hold of a lot of emails for the company, and those emails kind of showed that they were going to disregard. They had to have a high price because there's going to be a follow-on drug to keep the price of the follow-on drug very high. And then when the price is so high, there's some people don't get the treatment, and there was a disregard for people that didn't get the treatment. So we don't have a next step beyond our investigation, but we're hoping that bringing attention to this will make drug companies a little more responsible, because transparency on some of these issues that they were talking about, that we got information from the emails, isn't going to go over the public very well, and we think transparency brings accountability.
All right. Okay. On the healthcare.gov, again, we've gone through another enrollment time, and it seemed to work a little bit better this time.
Yes, but there's still things that aren't right, and we're going to have a hearing on it to see if we can get those things straightened out.
Okay. All right. Very quickly, I wanted to ask a little bit about the campaigning that's going on. When we first started visiting, and we were getting ready for caucuses like a year or so ago, it seemed like, you had concerns about the size of the field. We're getting it whittled down there, but again, the rhetoric seems to be picking up a little bit more. Are we getting a lot more emotional here?
Well, the answer is yes. And if they could eliminate one word, it would raise the civility of the debate, and that word would be liar. And then there's some almost four-letter word by innuendo that if they could be left out, it'd be a lot better. And I hope that when we get down to a couple Republican nominees, that we have a situation where it becomes a little more presidential, I would say, if that's a word that means something to you, because what I've seen so far doesn't appear to be so presidential.
Yeah, it gets a little bit, they get a little excited on some things out there. So, and the people get a little bit round up by them too. We've seen some issues going on with that lately. Did want to ask about, because I know that there's a few other things that have happened recently, and I know we've talked about judiciary and finance, but I know watching the Middle East, it looks like Russia, they have said that their campaign in Syria is done. Probably not really trusting them all that much. Want to see what happens over there?
Well, we kept Russia out of the Middle East for 40 years. And then there was a vacuum created by President Obama withdrawing American leadership. And it was filled by Russia, which makes that part of the world more unstable. In fact, I think the situation for the entire globe is more unstable now than any time since World War II.
All right. I know that you've got a committee meeting coming up here very soon. I'm going to try to wrap this up and let you get ready to take off and get some of those things taken care of today. The schedule is a lot of committee meetings. What, until next week are you done, or the end of this week?
The end of this week, then we have spring break.
Okay.
And I'll be having town meetings in kind of western and northwest Iowa.
All right, very good. We look forward to seeing you coming by and getting around to central Iowa here and a chance to visit with us. Thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.